Hello, my name's Chris Weber with Cassava Security.
And I'm Robert Mooney with Cassava Security.
Cassava is a consulting member of the Microsoft SDL Pro Network, and today we're going to be talking about the SDL requirements phase from the simplified implementation of Microsoft SDL. So the first slide here shows an overview of the Microsoft SDL process from the training phase through requirements, which we'll be talking about, onto design, implementation, verification, release, and finally a response plan that goes with developing secure software. You can get access to this information and follow along from microsoft.com/SDL, which you're probably already at if you're watching this video. Now, the next slide here is the Microsoft SDL toolset. So this expands on the previous image, and everything underneath what was previously there are tools that can help you in kind of ramping up and accelerating your adoption of the SDL process. I won't talk about each tool, but these are all free tools that are available through Microsoft's website for more information. So, here we are. Highlighted is the requirements phase where we plan to talk about today. And kind of an overview of this phase is that we're going to talk about establishing security requirements for the project, creating quality gates and bug bars, and also look at a security and privacy risk assessment that goes along with this phase. Let's get started then. So, at the top, you see this SDL Practice 2 is the first stage in the requirements phase of the Microsoft SDL simplified model. One thing you want to start asking here is, does your product need to even go through the SDL process? Obviously, we know that it costs more money and time and resources to invest into the SDL process. So it's got to be right for you. And you can ask some simple questions to determine that. You know, are you shipping this product to customers? Are you releasing a public web application or service? And are you planning to consume or store and deal with customer data in any way? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then you're a good candidate for an SDL type of process. All right, so at the beginning of the requirements phase, you really want to know who the key people are going to be, the go-to people for your project. So first off, you want to assign a security champion. This is a person who has a program manager type of role, and they're going to be sort of responsible for coordinating, communicating the security features across the team and to any of the key stakeholders involved in the process and the project. This person is not the solely accountable person. This isn't the person to take all the blame should something go wrong, but they should be accountable at least for managing the process and seeing that you meet your milestones within the SDL. Another person you want to assign a role to is a privacy advisor. So in the requirements phase, we're thinking about security and we're thinking about privacy. How are we handling customer data? Now, so the way some teams like to do is they like to have a privacy advisor, and this is a person sort of external to the team, someone who can help answer questions that are maybe unfamiliar because privacy is a kind of a specialty area. But you also want to have a privacy lead that can interface with an advisor and can also interface with the whole project team and set the milestones and the goals for your project. Another thing you'll see we're going to talk about is defining and documenting a privacy bug bar. And that's where we get into SDL Practice 3 in the simplified model when we talk about quality gates and bug bars. We're talking about bug bars for privacy and security, and these are two different bug bars. Security bug bar deals specifically with how your software might be vulnerable to threats out there in the real world. And this is where you start to think about threats in terms of elevation of privilege, information disclosure, remote code execution. These are the types of threats that affect your application when you talk about a text like cross-site scripting and SQL injection and cross-site request forgery. So when you're setting up a security bug bar, you want to have a way to kind of categorize the most high-impact threats. And these are the ones, for example, that would give an attacker complete control over the application or the application's data. That would be a very critical type of threat, and it should be reflected in the bug bar so that when somebody on your team is filing bugs later on down the road, they can clearly have a field available to them in the bug template that you're using that says this is a high priority item and this is because it's a remote code execution type of flaw related to a cross-site scripting vulnerability or a SQL injection vulnerability. So the details of those kind of fields can get kind of complex. Luckily, Microsoft has shipped the SDL process template, so you can get ramped up pretty quick by downloading those process templates. They integrate with Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio effortlessly. So if you use those systems, then you'll be good to go. If you want to try to give it a shot, you can just build yours from the ground up as well, just utilizing some of the knowledge that's out there. Now, the privacy bug bar is very similar. You need to be able to talk about items like you need a way how to classify bugs that come in related to privacy, such as, oh, we're missing a consent form. So on this page, this person was supposed to consent to us giving us taking their data from them and handling it in our in accordance with our privacy policy. But perhaps you forgot a consent form, so now you have to file a bug and look into that. Other items on a privacy bug bar related to specific issues around, are you handling children's data? There's specific laws around that. Maybe there's a flaw in the way you were transferring personally identifiable information like email addresses or social security numbers or credit card info. Maybe you do have the SSL connection right between the web browser and the web server, but maybe there's a mishap in the way that information was handled on the server and there was a leak later on. So that would be a privacy threat as well, and something that needs to get fixed. Another important thing is when you're enabling these quality gates and bug bars is to make sure your reporting system can be queried for those easily. And that's what kind of the process template helps out with, because now I can go in and I can select to see all the SEV1, you know, high severity critical issues that are affecting my user's privacy. And I can have all those listed out, and I can see what the status of all those items are. Same thing for the security bugs. You know, I want to go in and I want to see how many remote code execution bugs do we have, how many cross-site scripting flaws, how many SQL injection, and that stuff has to be trackable and easily reportable. So another area where these process templates and the bug bars come in real handy is when you're trying to meet your compliance goals, HIPAA compliance, PCI compliance, SOX, and even COPPA with Children's Online Protection and Privacy. These process templates can be extended so that you can also map in, you know, hey, this is a compliance issue. I need to make sure that this gets taken care of right away. Sort of moving along in the requirements phase, we get into the risk assessment area. And this is when you start building out your plan for your product. You want to really start thinking about timing and resources and setting up milestones for things. So, you know, you've been through team training because that's phase one of the SDL process. Here you are in requirements, and you're starting to think ahead now to things like threat modeling and pen testing and final security review. Start asking questions like, what parts of my product are going to require threat modeling? When you're looking at a web application, you know, really dynamic, it has social components to it. Obviously, there's a huge attack surface there, and you want to start thinking about what specific features need threat modeling versus the system as a whole that needs threat modeling. And then you want to start thinking about what things don't need threat modeling, right? You got batch processes running on the back end, or maybe you have some sort of integration feature that's completely safe and trustable, and you don't want to spend time threat modeling those kind of components. You want to make those clear up front so that you know where to invest your time and resources. Same thing goes for design reviews. You need to know where you want to really focus on hardcore design reviews of feature sets. And kind of while you're thinking through this, you'll be also able to put more structure around the penetration testing goals that you have and the milestones around that. Penetration testing is something that's going to help you near the end of the product's life and the product's development, you know, really close to shipping. When you're near feature complete or feature complete, you come in and you do your pen testing on all the important features. A lot of that usually takes place from the front end. You know, what's remotely accessible? What are we making accessible to our customers? What are we making accessible to the public? That's the stuff we need to pen test first. And then there's going to be questions around fuzz testing. Fuzzing has been a really productive way to find high-value vulnerabilities in a lot of software products over the years. And it generally works very good with protocols, network protocols, and specifications and standards around file types, image types, and other file types, HTML. So anytime you have a parser that's going to consume data, and that parser has been implemented in a custom way, you're going to consider fuzz testing. And there's some other instructions you can find on the SDL site to get more detail about fuzzing and fuzz testing, and when you do need to do it, when you don't. You know, if you're building a product in completely safe and managed code, and it's a parser you're building, fuzzing is going to be a lower priority for you than if you are building that same parser in completely unmanaged C and C++ code that's vulnerable to attacks like buffer overflows. And then you just want to start thinking about other types of testing to do during this phase. Maybe there's going to be logical test cases you want to run against your business processes and your business logic on your applications. An important part around the privacy is really determining what your privacy impact rating is overall for your product. I mean, it doesn't matter how many features you have. If any one of them is consuming personally identifiable information, then you've got a holistic product that's affected. The simplified SDL helps you sort of assign some structure around that data to decide, are we dealing with a high privacy risk here, or a medium privacy risk, or a low privacy risk? I can almost guarantee that you're going to be either a high privacy or medium privacy risk, unless you just have completely static content, like plain static HTML pages out there that do nothing and don't take any information, in which case you might be a low privacy risk. So some good resources to find more information about this. Of course, where you're at, Microsoft.com/SDL. And then there's the simplified implementation of the SDL white paper and the process templates, which I talked a little bit about. These apply in traditional sort of development methodology, and also Microsoft has customized it in sort of an agile SDL process template as well. So if you're in an agile environment, you can adopt some of those principles as well. Some of our contact information. Thanks for watching, and feel free to send us any questions on the Microsoft SDL process.